welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, Mike.
We're going to talk this week and then again next week about two separate poems that deal with human papillomavirus. Listeners will know that human papillomavirus is generally considered a sexually transmitted disease. It causes disease both in the anogenital area and the oropharynx, and can cause cancer both in males and females. Persistent viral infection with high-risk HPV genotypes causes virtually all cancers of the cervix. I'm not going to go through all the different numbers, but the highest risk genotypes seem to be 16 and 18, and those two cause approximately 70% of all cervical cancers worldwide. There are a number of other ones, six or seven, that cause the additional 20%. Vaccines are available, have been available for a while, and include a bivalent vaccine all the way up to a 9-valent vaccine. I'm told in the U.S. right now, I think that we can only get the 9-valent vaccine. Anyways, the vaccine benefit is most well studied for cervical cancer, which is, again, one of the most common female cancers worldwide. We've done a great job in the United States reducing cervical cancer here. The adverse effects of HPV vaccine are really quite mild, generally limited to simple local reactions. And modeling suggests that these vaccines are highly cost effective. The poem that you've selected comes from the National Cancer Institute, or the Journal of the National Cancer Institute, and it attempts to answer the question, how effective is the bivalent human papilloma vaccine in preventing invasive cervical cancer? Mark.
Yeah, this was a Scottish study. Palmer was the first author on that, and it was in the January issue, January 22nd issue, I think, of JNCI. And so they linked data from the National Health Service of Scotland, which is their national health system, the Scottish Cervical Cancer Recall System, and the Scottish Cancer Registry. They used the patient's postal code to determine their level of social deprivation based on their income, employment, education, health, access to services, crime, housing data, because that has been associated with HPV infection. They determined the number of HPV vaccine doses that each woman received, how old they were when they received them, and then their rate of cervical carcinoma. They included women born between 1988 and 1996, and then they used July 2020 cancer data. So they had data on about half a million, about 447,000 women, 239 of whom were diagnosed with invasive cervical cancer. I think the real headline here is they found no cases of invasive cervical cancer in adults who got any doses of HPV vaccine when they were 12 or 13 years of age. Partial immunization in children who were 14 years or older was less effective. There was a reduction in the risk in the incidence, but it wasn't as large as in the younger age group. Cancer incidence was highest among those with the greatest deprivation index, but the vaccinated women in this group also had the greatest reduction in incidence. So they also had the most benefit. We create a little table in the poem, and there's a nice, it's kind of a dose response, if you will. The unvaccinated had 8.4 cancers per 100,000 women. Partial vaccination at age 14 or older, 6.5. Complete vaccination, 14 and older, 2.7. And then, as I said earlier, if they were partially or completely vaccinated at age 12 to 13, they had essentially they had no cancers detected in that group. So these data are consistent with other studies from Scandinavia. The dose response makes sense, and it also is biologically plausible because 12 to 13 is typically before the initiation of sexual activity, and full vaccination had a greater benefit than partial vaccination. So bottom line, these data, I think, are really convincing that the HPV vaccine is effective in preventing invasive cervical cancer, particularly when it's given early, 12 to 13 years or earlier. Partial immunization in older kids was less effective. This study evaluated the real-world effectiveness of the bivalent vaccine, and it's now largely been replaced by potentially an even more effective nonavalent vaccine that addresses 9 different HPV subtypes. So the greatest effectiveness was among women actually in the lowest strata of social deprivation.
Although I guess you'd be hard-pressed to say that the Nona vaccine is going to be much more effective than the bivalent.
Yeah, 0-0, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
A couple of observations. First, you know, they get kudos. I guess Scotland has a cancer registry that has is pretty large. I guess you can do that when you have got a one healthcare provider. But it's nice that they had 500,000 people in here.
Scotland tends to punch above its weight, I think, in terms of medical things. They have a really nice set of the Scottish Intercollegiate Guidelines Network. Those are really good practice guidelines. I interviewed for a job once at St. Andrews University and learned a little bit about the Scottish healthcare system when I was doing that. I think it was a little too cold and dark up there. It's also true in Scandinavia. Countries like Denmark have this really impressive, well-organized health system where they have data on everybody and, you know, basically every medical visit and every cancer.
One other quick thing. So the study is impressive and it looks at women. I think that most groups are recommending that guys, males, are also given the shot. Is that going to change these numbers or is that just going to decrease transmission from males to females?
I don't know that how much impact it's going to have on these numbers. In theory, you know, there's benefit for the males, but then there's also reduced transmissions.
Thanks, Mark. We'll talk again next week.
Sounds good.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.